Okay, so Ben Calder, you describe yourself as an integral, I can never say that word, integral health practitioner.
Yeah, hi, Elaine. That's right.
Okay, so what is one of those?
So it's an interesting position to be in. I've been in professional practice now for over 15 years, and I'm sure, like yourself, along the way, what happens is we come into contact with various systems, and each time we come in contact with a system, we evaluate it and look at it and go, okay, there's parts of that that are really useful, and I could really use that in my practice, and there are parts that are not. And we start to build up this more complex series of tools that we can use for different situations, different scenarios, different clients, different types of people, different types of problems. And so eventually we have this whole gamut of tools, this massive toolbox of possibilities. And I was aware of the fact that I was doing that. But then in 2011, I came across Ken Wilber's Integral Theory and started to look at the model that he used for looking at the world, and something that became known as the All Quadrant, All Level, or the AQUL map, which showed how different types of systems, different types of ways of observing the world, the subjective, the objective, the internal, the external, how those all became just parts of the greater whole that we're always experiencing. So there's no point where we're not experiencing some part of subjective, objective, internal, external. And I recognized that this range of tools that I had actually worked really well as an integral map. It was an integral system, because I had stuff for the mind, stuff for the body, stuff for relationships and culture, stuff for the environment, which are all the key areas of integral. So I realized that actually what I was doing was giving an integral perspective to people when they saw me. And a little bit like a kind of an advanced GP who has the ability to look at many things and come up with possibilities, that was basically where I was at, rather than just being a specialist for one field.
Okay, so what kind of things do people come and see you with, Ben?
There isn't much I don't see, to be honest. I mean, if we're looking at bread and butter type issues, I see a lot of digestive stuff, which very regularly ties in with a lot of anxiety. And it's because it's surprising that nearly every client I see who has a digestive issue also has levels of anxiety, worry. And every person that comes to see me for anxiety and worry, often when you reach into it, they've got digestive problems going on. So I see a lot of that. I do a lot of hormonal work with women, especially. I do a lot of work for backs and hips and shoulders and necks with the Bowen technique stuff that I do. And I do a lot of kind of overlying stress and just difficulties with lifestyle. So people who there's a combination of their work, their relationships, their life, there's things that are just not right for them, and they're not happy. And so they've got a whole series of little, they've got this problem in the body, this is going on, their moods are affected, their energy's affected. So when we look at them, they're actually much more complex positions. They're not just, okay, you need to see a nutritionist, or you need to see the chiropractor. They're kind of multidisciplinary issues, or multi-perspectival issues. So I look at a lot of different stuff like that.
So when you identify what's going on, do you diagnose? Do you refer to other practitioners? How do you deal with these things?
By definition, we don't diagnose. So because kinesiology is my main basis for all the work that I do, so what I'm really attempting to do is to look for solutions. Most of the time, the clients have a diagnosis. It's always one of the first things I check with clients as to whether or not they've actually spoken to their doctor about their concerns. And for most cases, I will always, if they haven't, refer them back to their GPs, just to make sure that they are having a medical diagnosis as well, because that's not what we're there to do. And again, if there is anything that I consider out of my remit, then I will also refer on. Or if there's anybody I think that's going to do a better job than me on certain things. I mean, one of the things I regularly do with people that are in for pain management is I refer them back on to our Alexander teacher at the Centre for Integral Health, Patrick Pearson, because his ability to assess and work with their movement is better than mine. So I know that they're going to get a better outcome, even if I can see that it's their movement that's causing a problem. I know that they're probably going to gain more from learning to work with Patrick than they would with myself. So I'll do the remedial work for them, deal with whatever the acute issues are, and then pass them on.
Brilliant. And that's that reminds me, you've got a couple of different places that you practice from. So where is the centre that you were just referring to?
Yeah, so Centre for Integral Health, which is my clinic. I started it back in 2013. That's right in the centre of Shrewsbury Town. So it's walking distance from the whole town centre, which is really nice. And we've actually got quite a big team there. So we've got 34 practitioners offering over 28 different services. Wow. And again, we're an integral centre. So we're using the model of Ken Wilber to look at all of these different aspects. So, you know, we've got a good counselling team, hypnotherapy team, life coaching. We also cover kind of chiropractic, osteopathic, physiotherapy, massage therapy, shiatsu, traditional Thai yoga, Bowen technique, Emmett technique. And then we've also got things like the kinesiologies and some of the other subtle energy therapies in there as well. So we've got a really wide range of stuff.
Fabulous. You sound like almost like a mini hospital, a natural mini hospital where you can
access. That's kind of beautifully what we are. It's I love it. We're a one-stop shop for all your health needs, you know. So when your body's ready to drop, you know where to come into. And you know, I love being there. And then the other clinic that I've been in now for about 10 years is the Chester Wellness Center. So that's just on the edge of Chester City, in the Chester Business Park. And again, amazing team there, multidisciplinary team. But I'm one of the team rather than director or coach in there.
Right, okay. And your website is simply bencolder.co.uk, isn't it, I believe?
That's it, yeah. Nice and straightforward. Easiest thing to do sometimes.
Yes, okay. And that's spelled C-A-L-D-E-R, bencolder. Okay, that's fabulous. I had a look at your website to remind myself, because it's been a long time since I saw you, way back at Chester. And you've added on a few things since I knew you. I met you. Tell me about access bars. I know that's one of your newish tools.
What is it
a something? Is it a technique? What is it?
Access bars, which is the beginning of the access consciousness range of tools, is an incredible technique. So something that's very, very quick and simple to learn, but has absolutely profound effects on neurophysiology. So I started working with this a few years back now, and I also teach access bars classes, so I can teach people to become certified practitioners in access bars. And it's very simply a series of 32 points on the head that you lightly hold, and they actually, right there and then, change neurophysiology and neuroplasticity. So Dr. Jeffrey Fannin, who's a neuroscientist, we're just waiting for the full publication of his research on that. We had the white paper for that last year. And as a neuroscientist, he has never seen changes in neurophysiology happen so fast as he does when the bars are run, which is the term we use for when we hold the points.
Right. So it's a very gentle process by the sounds of things.
Really, absolutely. And us as practitioners, we're not putting in any energy. We're not the ones creating the change. The points are a little bit like possibilities and options to change. And as we hold them, they create an electromagnetic discharge through the hemispheres of the brain. And that seems to reduce the charge that's built up around a lot of thoughts, feelings, emotions, beliefs, traumas. It's being used with great effect for people with PTSD, with anxiety, with a whole host of symptoms. And even the founders of the system themselves, both of them were at a point where they were considering suicide as opposed to staying alive. And certainly Dr. Dane here, who is one of the main characters within Access, you know, his story is very well published about his planned suicide and how he decided to go and have his bars run almost as a last-ditch attempt. And this was nearly 20 years ago now. And how it just literally turned his life around there and then. So incredibly powerful technique to apply, but also very, very simple for us as practitioners we don't need to get over involved with what we think ought to be done or should be done, or can we do this, should we do this, is this the problem? We don't need to ask these questions. We just hold the points, and then the body chooses what it needs to do, and we trust it to do that.
Wow, that sounds a very simple system, but with a very complicated sort of science and neurophysiology behind it. But it's great that there is a system and such practitioners as yourself.
Thank you,
I want to talk about Qigong in a moment, but before we do that, let's hear your first record. You've chosen Queen of the Stone Age, which apparently is a band who I've never heard of.
I look forward to you hearing this as well, Elaine, you know, so I hope you get to hear the track. It's a good stuff. I mean, Queens of the Stone Age are a band I've been listening to for a long time. I'm a rock guitarist myself, so I really enjoy good guitar music. And the Queens of the Stone Age put on some amazing live shows, and this is a track off their most recent album. In preparation for going up and doing the Snowden charity challenge that I've just come back from doing, Feet Don't Fail Me Now seemed like an appropriate song of theirs to play. But it's also really nice and upbeat and lively, and just what about, you know, let's dance, let's allow our bodies to really celebrate us, and you know, we get a lot of joy from that.
Right, okay, I'm not so scared now. I know you said you're a rock guitarist. I'm more interested now. I was a bit scared when I heard that title. So let's hear Queen of the Stone Age playing Feet Don't Fail Me Now. Okay, well, yeah, that was a great song, Ben. Thank you for that choice. I have to look up their other songs as well. So there we go. Qigong in the Park, something a bit more sedate now. So tell me about that.
Yeah, sure. This is one of my favourite things to be delivering. Where, you know, for a little bit of history, when I was 15 years old, I got introduced to my first Qigong teacher, who introduced me to a system called Jamzhong, which translates as standing like a tree. And as a hyperactive teenager, it was both a challenge and a real benefit to learn to just stand still and allow my body some peace and quiet and allow my adrenals to calm down. And so over the next kind of 27 years, as it's been, I've been practicing Qigong on and off, and certainly in the last 6 to 8 years, a lot more seriously. I've trained with some Chinese grandmasters within this as well, and I'm currently in the process of developing and preparing the Life Force Qigong system that my brother has developed and is currently just receiving its first full major international teaching at the Integral Body Institute in Poland. Qigong is like, for anybody that's not come across it, it's like Tai Chi. So it's these soft, gentle movements, but unlike Tai Chi, A, it's not a martial art for a start off, it's purely a health orientated practice. And secondly, Tai Chi is one long sequence that you learn to do, whereas Qigong is a lot of short movements that we do repetitively. So we'll be moving through a single exercise a dozen or more times to start to kind of accumulate energy. We also use it for releasing and disconnecting kind of tension and blockages within the fascia, within the connective tissue, realigning the structure of the body, and then re-engaging the fascia to move in much more healthy ways.
Wow, sounds fabulous. And you mentioned your brother, so are you a family of health buffs?
Yeah, pretty much. We, I think our mum was a big influence in getting us all into this, although to a degree, we've all found our independent paths within it. And, my brother has spent many years in Asia studying and training with a lot of incredible teachers out there. And he found that every teacher would give you part of the puzzle, but they wouldn't teach you everything they knew. So over the years, he's been accumulating different bits from different teachers, and some bits that one teacher would teach, another wouldn't. So he got a bigger and bigger picture. And limitations that were found in various systems, and then just created over many years this series of movements that really helped to engage the body at a number of different levels, really work with the mind and the emotions and the organs, and do a lot of incredible stuff for getting rid of our old trauma in a non-traumatic fashion, allowing the body to work it out. So we get greater freedom, greater lightness, more energy. It's really, really a beautiful practice.
Excellent. And going back to your website, there's a really good introductory video on there that I presume it's you doing the stuff on there, which is great.
Sure. And
I noticed you do something called shadow self. What's that?
Yeah, sure. I love the shadow work. So again, this is part of what came out for me, first of all, in 20. I mean, concepts of the shadow we've all come across before. You know, we all, or many of us, have heard this idea that the things that bother us in other people are things that we really need to face in ourselves. And in a way, that is the basis of shadow work. And in 2011, I was in a really interesting time in my life. And it was challenging because I couldn't recognize the shadow elements. And again, my brother, beautiful character that he is, introduced me through to integral theory. And within part of the core integral life practice work is a requirement for shadow. So I started at that point throwing myself deep into shadow work, starting to look a lot more at my shadow elements and seeing which parts of myself I was unwilling to allow, unwilling to acknowledge, and just working out what needed to happen to allow those, to reintegrate those, because they're still taking energy, they're still acting out, and they're still causing disruption when you don't acknowledge them. So it's kind of like having this separation between you and another part of you that you just don't even see, and the only place that you recognize it in is other people. And it has both kind of what we could class as the more negative sides to it. So if we're affected by somebody else's anger or affected by somebody else's selfishness, that's a reflection of our unacknowledgement of our own anger or selfishness. But it can also relate into positive traits and emotions as well. So, you know, somebody else's beauty, somebody else's creativity, somebody else's time management. You know, it's that thing that makes us go, oh, they're so amazing at that. I wish I could do that. And it's not just that we're informed by their skill at that. We're affected by it. So there's a response in us. And we always see ourselves to lack that thing. So the shadow work really allows us to start to become more conscious of these unconscious aspects of ourselves. And so I run workshops on that a couple of times a year, do an immersive weekend where people can come and learn and practice and, you know, take some nice gentle steps into understanding and recognizing their own shadow elements and having a range of tools and techniques to start pulling out of that.
That sounds really interesting because in the volunteering work that I do with mentoring cancer patients, I find again and again it's the sort of unconscious behaviors that people have and the hidden emotions that they haven't acknowledged. They may not even know they're there, but until that deep work is done, they will not recover fully. You know, it's as simple as that. And so many people think, oh, okay, I'm fine, but actually they're not. And yeah. Once they break that kind of negativity, that cycle, and once they acknowledge and just release and let go, they have amazing fast forward in their recovery. So yes, I hear what you're saying on that. It really is very important. So
So this is also where the importance of the integral model comes in, because part of what we acknowledge in that is there is no separation between body and mind. The mind is the subjective aspect where the body is the objective. So a contraction or a blockage in one is also there in the other, and it can't be any other way. So if there's a contraction, a tension in the body, the mind is also holding a correlate to that. So yeah. To release one helps to release the other.
Yeah, absolutely. So true. So do you work with cancer patients?
Yeah, I regularly work with cancer patients.
Brilliant. Okay, I shall put you on my list of people to refer to. That is awesome. Really good. Okay, so just before we hear your last song and close, you mentioned that you've been running up and down mountains for the air ambulance.
Yeah, sure. So Christina Morgan, who is one of the practitioners at Centre for Integral Health, her business is Snowdrop House. She's NLP, hypnotherapy, personal trainer, business coach, life coach. fantastic character, and is often keen to do charity challenges, and suggested to me earlier in the year that we see how many times we could go up and down Snowdon in 24 hours for charity. And without really thinking about it, I went, okay. So this weekend just passed, so 6th and 7th of July here. We started at 6:30 p.m., went up and watched the sunset there, came back down, had an hour's sleep, went back up and watched the sunrise, came back down again, had 90 minutes sleep, went back up, which considering that there'd been maybe a dozen to 20 people on the mountain for the sunset, and about the same for the sunrise, get up there at midday the next day, and there's maybe 1,500 people up there. You know, seeing Snowdon in such different lights, such different types and groups of people up there, phenomenal time, and managed to raise over £1,200 for the Midlands Air Ambulance, and Christina also raised £2,000 for the Shropshire, Staffordshire, Cheshire Blood Bites as well. So we had an incredible weekend of pushing our bodies, but quite reasonably. You know, we were all pretty kind to ourselves. We had thought about doing a fourth ascent, but after the third one, we just kind of looked at each other and went, you know, we've done enough. That's okay. We can be kind.
Brilliant. Really good. So you're really walking your talk with the health stuff, aren't you?
Absolutely. We really need to. I think it's one of the most important things as a health practitioner. It's less about what I know, but more about what I embody.
Yeah. Fantastic. So this this final song by the Folds, F-O-A-S, The Folds, another group I've never heard of. That's the nice thing about this programme. I get all sorts of interesting introductions to songs. And their track called Providence. So why did you choose this?
I love the Folds for a couple of reasons. First of all, they're a UK band. They're an Oxford-based band. And they create this style of music that is so unique. It's dancey, it's rocky, it's light, it's just beautiful. And there's something about this song that for me is always a real kind of like motivator, a go-getter. It really lifts me up, and I can always feel my body just wanting to get into dance as soon as I hear it. So and again, from a health point of view, dance is one of these phenomenal things where, we can move our bodies, we can dance, we can sing, we can just allow a lot of stuff to move. And I love anything that encourages that.
Wonderful. Okay, I look forward to hearing from the Folds in a second and their track Providence. So thank you very much for spending time with us today, Ben. And just a reminder of your website, please, for people to get hold of you.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Elaine. So
it's
benholder.co.uk. Fabulous. Nice and straightforward.
Great, lovely. Well, thanks again, Ben, and I've definitely put you on my list of people to refer to with all kinds of health issues. So thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks, Elaine. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you today as well. Thank you.